Chapter 14, The Costume Ball. October 26th, Earth. I've been back on Earth for almost 2 weeks and am just now writing in my journal. It's funny, Mom doesn't nag me to write in it anymore, but I still feel guilty if I don't. I guess they're just happy that they're not getting any more concerned emails from my English teacher. They're also thrilled that it looks like I'm going to pass history, even though it is only with a C. Malik, Tyler, Ethan, Chantel, and I have patched up our friendship and have started building an entry for the Hamilton County School District Science Fair in the spring. Ms. Dada suggested we compete to bolster our science skills, and Malik came up with a cool idea. His dad bought a 3D printer this summer, and he thought we could use it to build a prosthetic for my gimpy arm. I told him that I didn't really need one since my arm is fully functional, it's just small. However, I regularly go to physical therapy and know a couple of kids who might find one helpful. Ethan and Tyler have researched some designs, and the kids at Physio are excited. I think it's going to be a great project. We also began playing Wizard Spells again and had a weekend-long quest last weekend. It's become fun again since there really isn't any magic where we are on Mirth. We just kind of live our lives there, but that's okay. In fact, it might be a bit tedious, but it's a huge relief. We're prisoners, but Janice and I probably aren't going to die, and neither are the girls. Also, there is enough magic in our tattoos so that we will continue to jump back and forth until our birthdays and aren't going to be trapped in comas. So, while we didn't fulfill the prophecy, we did save the Earth girls' lives. I didn't realize how stressed out I was about all that, but I feel like a giant weight has been lifted off my shoulders. The funny thing is that my real life on Earth is now more interesting than my dream life on Mirth. I'm disappointed not to be going to the costume dance with Nancy Wellington, but I am proud that I got up the nerve to ask her and wasn't crushed by her rejection. She just doesn't want to go to a dance. That's too bad, because I still want to ask her out, and now it's going to have to be a real date. Tyler suggested asking her to the movies. Malik said I should take the easy way out and go on a double date. I asked them how that was easier, since none of my friends had the guts to ask a girl out. We were at lunch, and Chantel snorted her orange drink out her nose. Next week I test for my red belt in karate, and I'm almost done with my history report for Mr. Narwani. It turned out longer than I had planned because I really started to get into it once I saw the pattern. I even went back and did some more focused research, and am convinced that the trend is real. I'll probably never get to see Satish on Mirth again, but I know he's going to be happy with what Mr. Narwani has seen. But the biggest news is that tonight I'm going to the 8th grade costume ball with Chantel. Okay, so it isn't really a date, but it will be the first dance I've ever attended. I'm excited and, to be honest, a little nervous. Chantel said we should go in matching costumes and I groaned at first. I mean, couples' costumes are always so stupid and the guy always gets the lame half of the pair. She just grinned and told me about her theme. What can I say other than, that girl is a genius. We're dressing up as Stavius and Janice. Mom drove me over to Chantel's house to pick her up for the dance. Neither her parents nor mine understood our costumes, but then again, they didn't really care. Mom and Chantel's parents spent 10 long, embarrassing minutes talking about us and taking our pictures. Chantel's dad said that this was his daughter's first real date, while her mother explained how her daughter didn't have many friends and how I was her first real boyfriend. Mom said the same thing about me. Chantel and I went outside to wait. The only thing which made this at all bearable is that all our parents were being totally embarrassing. It would have been so much worse if it was only my parents or just hers. Still, I wasn't exactly sure what to say after suffering through all that. Just so we're clear, we aren't really boyfriend and girlfriend and this really isn't a date, is it? I tentatively asked. I wasn't entirely sure how I wanted her to answer. Nope, she said with a wink. We're just out to have fun, eat stuff our parents would never let us eat at home, maybe dance a little, and make fun of everyone else's costumes. She squeezed my hand and I laughed. I really liked Chantel. I couldn't believe that we hadn't been friends forever. Unfortunately, our parents came out at that moment and saw us holding hands and laughing. We were subjected to another round of photos and 5 more minutes of gushing remarks like, "Ooh, aren't they so precious?" before we could leave. The costume ball was nothing like I imagined. First, it was held in the cafeteria and not in the gym as I expected. Okay, so maybe that was my own fault for not reading the form, but aren't school dances always held in the gym? Second, it didn't look like all the school dances do in movies with crepe paper streamers, tables with bowls of punch, with dry ice, and a band. So again, perhaps I missed the memo, but this was so much cooler. The theme was Zombies Are Among Us, and the dance committee had done a great job transforming the lunchroom. The drama club stage crew had built large panels depicting attacking zombies, which were placed in front of the lunch line entrance. Vast sheets of paper were taped to the walls and covered with blood splatters, slash marks, and danger warnings. Hey, it wasn't perfect, but it was far better than the lame, inspirational message posters hidden underneath. There was a DJ who seemed to be pretty good. She was playing danceable music and, most importantly, spent more time playing music than talking. But the coolest effects were on the windows. The cafeteria has several large windows. The AV club had taped translucent plastic sheets over them and placed projectors on the outside to run video loops of zombies, monsters, and floating heads. It was like hell itself was trying to break through the windows to get in. It was awesome! Of course, the DJ had set up a light show on the dance floor, but had the good taste to use lasers instead of hanging a disco ball. There were tables full of food and drinks, and the courtyard outside the cafeteria was even set up like a haunted house. It was so much better than I imagined. No one could figure out our costumes, but we really didn't care. We were having too much fun joking about what everyone else was wearing. The dance team members were all dressed like bloody cheerleaders. By the way, I don't mean that like an English insult. They were all dressed as cute zombie cheerleaders with slit throats oozing blood. The football team was dressed as, you guessed it, zombie football players, and the chess club came as a bunch of chess pieces. There were some genuinely creative costumes as well. One guy came dressed as a tub of popcorn, replete with real popcorn up to his chin. However, the edible part of his costume was mostly gone by the time we arrived. The funniest ones, however, were couples' costumes which only made sense when they were together. Nobody stays literally glued at the hip with their partner all night long, and let me just leave that by noting that half costumes rarely make any sense at all. The music paused and Veronica Myers took the microphone to welcome everyone to the dance. Veronica was the head of the dance committee. She was also on the school newspaper, the yearbook committee, and the junior varsity dance team. She was pretty popular and at the opposite end of the social spectrum from Chantel and me. Veronica thanked the dance committee volunteers, the faculty, and the chaperones one more time before squealing, "Let's party!" and jumping off the DJ stage with her boyfriend. I thought I was going to puke from her cuteness, but Chantel said, "Hey, let's go say hi." I looked at her like she was insane, but she explained that Veronica's boyfriend lived two doors down from her. Veronica's date was Jerome Williams, a huge, handsome jock. He was probably the only freshman at the dance, and he was the only member of the varsity football team in the room. I gulped as we wove our way through the crowd and fought our way up to greet the two superstars. Chantel yelled, "Hey, what's up, G?" And Jerome spun around to lift her up with one hand. "Man, this guy is big." "JJ, what's happening?" He laughed with a huge grin. "I didn't expect to see you here, short stuff." "Me either. This is Mark, my date," introduced Chantel with a nod in my direction. Jerome reached out to shake, and I braced myself to have my hand crushed. Instead, he firmly grabbed it and drew me into a bro hug. "Anyone good enough for Chantel is all right by me, man," he said with genuine sincerity. He let go and introduced us to his date. "This is the brilliant and beautiful Veronica Myers, guys," he said with a sweep of his arm and a slight bow. Hi. I think we're in a couple of classes together," I said. I knew darn well that we were in two classes together, but Veronica didn't seem to recognize me at all. I wasn't disappointed because I fully expected that. "Nice costumes. Who are you trying to be?" asked Chantel. Jerome's face fell and he said, "I'm not sure. They were Veronica's idea." It was apparent that he was following his girlfriend's orders as he wistfully gazed at the zombie football players. "I'm not sure either," Veronica breezily replied. "It's more of a concept than anything specific." "Well, let's take a closer look and guess," said Chantel. I was feeling super uncomfortable and wished she would stop extending the conversation by saying things like that. It was evident to me who they were portraying. They were dressed as two Greek gods, probably Aphrodite and Apollo. Jerome was wearing a tunic open to his navel over a pair of light linen pants. It probably was just a karate gi, but the white fabric over his chiseled ebony skin made him look a lot more like a god than a cage fighter, and Veronica's matching outfit left no doubt. She was wearing a very short white silk tunic with a sash around her waist. The way her costume flowed over her incredible body left no question which goddess she was. I turned to her and said, "Well, that's easy. You're obviously..." I saw her bare arm, and the words stuck in my throat. Nancy stared at me like I was every bit of the idiot she expected as I stood in silence with my mouth open. "Oh, crud," I moaned. "You're Versera." "Dude, that was not what I thought you were going to say," laughed Jerome, but his date elbowed him in the gut as she stared at our costumes and especially at our henna tattoos. Her eyes grew wide as she said, "Oh no, you're Stavius and Janice. I can't believe this is really happening." We stood staring at each other for what felt like an eternity, but was probably only a few seconds until Jerome said, "Who are Stevie and Seamus, and can one of you please explain these costumes to me?" Now, I was surprised to discover that Veronica Myers was Versera, but nowhere near as shocked as Veronica must be. I remember when I found out that my mirth dreams were real, and it wasn't at the 8th grade social event of the season. I would have usually continued to stand there like the complete social dweeb I am, but tonight I wasn't Marius Panagopoulos. I was Stavius. We're all dressed like characters in a new online game, and those are our character names. I'm Stavius, this is Janice, and Veronica is Versera, I said with a laugh. "But Janice, you're a girl," exclaimed Veronica. "Babe, no one knows who you are on the internet. It's cool for chicks to be dudes, you know," answered Jerome. "Please don't call me a chick, G," Chantel glared at him. "Oh, sorry, no offense," laughed Jerome as he backed away with his hands raised. "I can't deal with this right now. We'll talk about it tomorrow," said Veronica as she started to regain her composure. "Hey, I know it's a lot to take in," Chantel reassured her. "No, it's just that I really don't have the time to deal with this right now. I'm the host for this whole event and I need to get back to work," Veronica explained with undeniable panic in her voice. A guy's voice called out from over my shoulder, as if on cue. "Hey, I thought the theme was supposed to be about zombies, but I'm glad we're not the only ones wearing togas." I turned around and saw a preppy rich kid with blow-dried hair and a bedsheet draped over his shoulder. I had no idea who he was, but I recognized the girl standing next to him. She was Nancy Wellington, and she looked fantastic. Nancy's date might be wearing a bedsheet, but she was wearing a short, coarsely woven tunic with an embroidered V-neck over yoga pants. She had a sash around her waist like Veronica and a bow slung over her head and shoulder. The wooden bow was behind her with a string holding her tunic tightly to her chest between her breasts. I was shocked, love-struck, and angry. I felt completely blindsided by Nancy's even being there and furious that she had come with a date after turning me down. She looked as startled to see me as I was to see her. "Mark, I didn't expect to see you here," she said in surprise. I croaked out, "Not half as surprised as I am to see you. I was just leaving." I turned to go and said in a much stronger voice, "We'll discuss this later tonight, Narayana." I saw Veronica staring at the henna tattoo of a diamond on Nancy's arm and heard her gasp, "OMG, you are Narayana," as I walked away. I heard Rich Boy ask, "Who was that, and what does he mean that he'll talk to you later tonight?" Jerome happily answered, "They're gamer names. Veronica goes by Versera. Nancy uses Nionica, and those two are Janice and Maximus." "Stavius. My name is Stavius, you moron," I muttered under my breath as I walked away. Chantel found me leaning against some lockers in the hallway trying to fight back my tears. She leaned against the locker next to me and said, "I know it stinks that she stood you up for someone else, but think about it. We know who Narayana and Versera are here on Earth." I swung my face toward her and snapped, "I don't care, Chantel. If you had any sense at all, you'd realize how much seeing Nancy here with that guy hurts me. I called my mom and she's coming to pick me up. She'll give you a ride if you want, or you can stay here. I just don't care." She yelled back, "And if you had any sense at all, you'd realize how much it hurts when you have a jerk bring you to a dance only to dump you when he sees the girl he'd rather be with. Go run home with your mommy. I'm going to stay here and have some fun. I'll find my own way home," she cried as she ran back into the dance. I felt like such a schmuck. She was right that I was an insensitive jerk. I followed her into the cafeteria to apologize, but she had disappeared. I gave up after I pushed through the crowd twice and finally went outside. I sat alone on the steps by the circular drive of the school for the longest 15 minutes of my life until Mom arrived. She asked me a few questions about what had happened, but mercifully stopped when she saw me crying. I assured her that Chantel had another way home and hoped I was right because she wasn't answering her phone